I thought I'd call my little word for you this morning Homecoming, or Lassie Come Home. Remember those films? I wonder what pictures and emotions come into your heart when you hear the word home. I wonder if there's a special country, perhaps, that you still think of as home. Perhaps, or is there a special fragrance, perhaps of violets or lily of the valley? Or perhaps there's a picture of everybody around the table, a picture that might go back a long time ago and many things have changed. Have you ever read the book called Homecoming? It's actually a children's book, but I loved it. And then I read all the others that the lady wrote. And it was about a group of children, three or four of them, abandoned by their mother in a shopping complex. She actually had a breakdown. And the children are making their way home. They know they've got a grandma somewhere, they don't know anything about her, and they head for home. And all their adventures and the way the personalities of the children come out is just beautiful. And they don't know this mysterious grandma, but they know that if they get home, they'll be welcomed and they'll have a haven and they'll be all together, they'll be home. And so just this hope keeps them going through many adventures. It's a really beautiful book. As I read it, it reminded me of our journey home. You see, we're not home yet. This world isn't our home. We're just passing through. And I think we sometimes forget that, don't we? We're actually pilgrims. That makes you think of Pilgrim's Progress. A pilgrim is someone who is on her way home. So that's what you are if you're a Christian. You're on your way home. Christians are pilgrims on their way home. God didn't give us life just for the wispy time here. And doesn't it seem very fleeting the older you get? Just seems like that. I heard a beautiful poem once, and I'll never be able to get my hands on it because I heard it on the radio. And it said, when you look at a lady who's getting older, think of her, a young woman tripping down the aisle, a girl finishing school, the first baby, all these things, and they just seem a moment ago, don't they, in some ways, although sometimes I think it feels like 100 years ago. But we're all on our way home. God didn't give us life just for our time here. It's just a moment, really. You know, there's a chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and it has a group of people, and they are marvellous people. They're a group of people all looking forward to home, all looking forward to being with God. The city that he made for them, they all look forward. They're a motley group, you know, and they remind me a little bit of us. Many of them weren't very special. Many of them made many mistakes, but they're all going home. In fact, the first lady that's mentioned, her name is Sarah, and she was a lassie going home. And although they were all so different, there were princesses and prostitutes, pranksters and preachers, they're all listed there. They all had one important thing. And in fact, it's this one thing that qualified them for going home to be with God, and that was faith. Faith. The only people who are going home to God are the people who please him. And Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. So all these people, they're all going home to the heavenly home. They were taking God at his word. That's really what faith is. It's just believing what God says and acting on it. And all these people did that. You know, according to an African tribe, they say that the word faith means depending on God, leaning on God. And that's what all these people had. Faith expects God from God everything that he promised and then acts on those great expectations. Hebrews puts it a little bit like this. It's being certain of what we hope for. Sure of what we hope for, certain of those things that we can't see. God says it, so we believe it. That's faith. Well, let me ask you though, first of all, are you a lassie going home? Are you a lassie who's looking forward to heaven, knowing that each step of the way and each day is bringing you closer to home? It's a journey of faith, and it's an incredible journey, a wonderful journey. Each step walking with the Lord. Let's walk with Sarah. We're going to think about Sarah, and we'll think of her journey of faith, and I want you to think of your journey of faith too. We're going to see faith walking, that's obedience. Faith working, that's dependence. Faith wavering, that's impatience. Faith waiting, that's patience. And faith winning, that's confidence. And then finally, the homecoming. And that's going to be magnificent. It really is. Firstly, faith walking. And I've called this obedience. You know, there's a Chinese proverb, and I think it's a Chinese proverb. If they didn't say it, I think they would have if they had. And it says this, that every journey begins with the first step. And this journey of faith going home begins with the first step. The first step is of faith, and then it's followed by many and many others, and an all life journey. But always the same thing, always believing God will do what he says and be what he says he'll be. When you take this first step, though, it's a deliberate choice. You took a first step this morning, that step out of bed, and it was a deliberate choice, wasn't it? And our journey in faith with the Lord needs a first step, and it's a deliberate choice. I heard this recently. If you take this first step of faith, you have the answer for everything that life brings. If you don't take that step of faith, you have no answer for anything. And that's true. We hear God's promise, we believe it, and then we act on it. Well, for Abraham and Sarah, God told them to leave home, which was very comfortable, and take off to a new country, one that they didn't know anything about. And the full story is recorded in Genesis. But what did Abraham and Sarah do? They heard God's word. He said, come on, trust me, I'm taking you to a new country. They heard him, they believed him, and then they took their step of faith. They didn't have a clue where they were going, but it tells us in the Bible that because they believed God and they accepted what he said and then obeyed him, they were accepted by God. They pleased God because they were people of faith. And this has been God's way ever since. So here they are, more than 4,000 years ago, God telling them to move to a place. And he also told them that they would be a blessing to many, many people. All their descendants would bless the world forever and ever. Faith. We don't have to struggle to reach God. We don't have to be anything special to be accepted by him. We don't have to do anything except believe him. You know, that step of faith that Sarah took changed her whole life. It was the beginning of a new life, a journey walking with God. I had an awful shock recently. You know what it was? My little granddaughter, who's now 15 months old, is not an angel. I thought she was. All those months when she was little and so beautiful, I thought, oh, she is so precious. She's an angel. Well, she's not. And you know, none of us are. Even those beautiful little babies that look so angelic soon show us that their nature is anything but angelic. It's a sinful nature, and it soon shows. They might not do anything terribly, terribly, terribly bad, but they want their own way, don't they? And this is us. All of us have been born with that sinful nature, and we could never please God. We could never belong to him because we want our own way. But God loved us so much that he made a way for us to please him. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us, to pay for the punishment for the sins, that judgment that should have fallen on us. And then when we, through faith, by faith, believe that God sent his son to die for me, by faith believe it and then accept that he did it and receive the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, I please him. I'm accepted by him. That first step of faith, and I become his child. And he sees me as he sees the Lord Jesus righteous. That is incredible, isn't it? It is so big. But we must believe his word and then obey. Accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Then, more steps. That's just the first step. A journey doesn't stop with that first step. And so the next step, faith working, and this is dependence. Well, now Abraham and Sarah started off their journey. They left their idolatrous country and their family behind, and they started. And I think it was in one direction. They went 600 miles, walking, walking, walking. No map. They didn't know where they were going, but God said, follow me, I will show you, I'll take you to this promised land, and they went. No jet travel then, I guess it was camels carrying their burdens and then walking step by step. I've probably told you about my dog. Well, my dog isn't here anymore. he's gone, he's dead. But I well remember Archie. He used to walk so close to me that his paw would touch the back of my sandal. And I was thinking, wouldn't that be wonderful for us, depending on God so much. And the traffic today, there were such big transports, I couldn't see any further. In fact, there were just those really big vans. Couldn't see, and I thought, I know I'm on the right road, so I'll just have to keep on going, not seeing where I was going, but just going. And this was Abraham and Sarah. Perhaps some of you can relate to Sarah today. Perhaps there's been times in your lives where you've had to leave all the trappings of home, and it seemed as though they were all stripped off you, from you. Everything that was comfortable, everything that was familiar, and you had to step out to a new place, new adjustments. What a step of faith that is, isn't it? Depending on God, saying, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if there's going to be anyone friendly. I don't know if I'm going to feel at home, but you're taking me there. I trust you. I'm depending on you. You know, the unknown is not unknown to God. And isn't that a blessing? God has a promise and a provision for every step of the way. So when we step out into the unknown, we know that he will provide our every need. There's a promise for us. Whether there's a trial or a trifle, he's there right with us. And each day has a fresh supply of his goodness, his grace for us. Goodness that we don't deserve, but goodness that is ours because we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nowhere that we can go that God hasn't been. And right where we are right now, he's there with us. You know, one day I was walking to the post office, it was a Sunday, and I had an urgent letter to post, and I wanted to make sure it arrived safely. And then I looked, as I was walking to the post office, I looked on the back and I thought, oh no, I didn't put the return address. Anyhow, I was halfway to the post office, being Sunday, and knew it would be shut. But anyhow, walking down the road, I came eyeball to eyeball with the fiercest looking dog you've ever seen in your life. And I thought, oh Lord, what will I do? Just a quick prayer, I guess you've had those. And I thought, I know, I'll walk to the other side. Very good idea, I won't threaten his territory. So I walked across the road. There in the middle of the road was a pen. So I picked it up and I could write my address on the back of the letter. Just a little trifle incident. Just a little daily occurrence. And they happen in all our lives, don't they? Just a little time. Oh Lord, what will I do? Oh Lord, please help me. And in that quick SOS prayer, it's a step of faith as we trust him to help us. But you know, those trifle times help us for the trial times, the really big times. So that habit, that day-by-day habit of just walking with the Lord by faith, growing in faith as we read his word, get to know his promises better. And then for every trial or trifle, you've got his promise, his word to go back on. God said it, I believe it, and walk with it. That's great. Trusting in God's presence and assured of his promises. That's how Abraham and Sarah were. Well, they went in one direction one way, and things happened. Then they had another direction and another way, another many, 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 many miles. And eventually they arrived in the new country, the promised land. And it tells us in the Bible that Abraham was so thankful. God had brought him this far that he built an altar and he thanked God. And then wouldn't you know it, something happened, and Abraham and Sarah forgot that God had led them all that way, and they were thrown for a six. There was a famine in the land. This land that God had brought them to, this promised land, and there was a famine. And they forgot. They forgot that God had been with them every step of the way, and now this new hurdle, and they started to meddle, and they got in a muddle. As soon as we take our eyes off the Lord and start to work out our own way, we'll get in a muddle when we meddle. And here we have faith wavering, impatience. Abraham and Sarah tried their own solutions, so they decided to go to Egypt. They couldn't wait for God to be all that they needed him to be in that moment. Have you been there? I have. Do you know, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's what David said in Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Not in my own resources. If it wasn't hard, we wouldn't have to trust, would we? And so here's Sarah facing a hard time forgetting to trust. It's in our difficult times, you know, that faith grows. Faith grows in God's word, but you know, it grows with leaps and bounds in our difficult times because we trust on him then. You know, a man took a cocoon and he wanted to watch the emperor moth come out of the cocoon. And he saw the little hole starting in the cocoon. And he was getting very excited. So he got his scissors and he started to snip the hole to help the emperor moth come out. And the emperor moth came out quickly, but its wings were all shriveled. It would never fly. You know, that struggle time in the cocoon was very important, because in that struggle against the cocoon, there's a special fluid goes from the moth's body into its wings. So at exactly the right time when it emerges, there's strength in its wings to fly. The struggle was a strengthening time. The man thought he was helping, and actually he was hurting. So that time of waiting for God, that struggle time, is a strengthening time. God has a time limit and a load limit for our struggle, whatever it is. He's got a great purpose in that struggle. In that struggle, we'll be transformed. We'll become more like the Lord Jesus as we lean on him and trust in him. We'll learn more about him. He'll teach us. We'll learn more. Our faith will be strengthened. It'll be purified. The waiting time is an important time. Be still and know that I am God. It's so hard for ladies in particular to be still. I nursed a little girl in our after school club yesterday afternoon. She was a real nuisance in the story and no one could listen. She could not sit still. She was a real wriggler. And I thought, little girl, I wonder if you'll ever learn to be still and just wait and listen. I wonder if the Lord looks at us and says, little girl, I wonder if you'll ever learn to keep your mouth shut and just wait and be still. Trust him in your problem, and he'll even help you to wait. If you have trouble being still, tell him all about it. I've done that. And then I got a rude answer to me. It put me in my place. Just be quiet, Margaret. Keep your mouth shut. A particular time recently when I really wanted to open my mouth and defend all my Christian friends that were being insulted. Our little assembly was being insulted. I thought, I'll say this and I'll say that. And then I thought of the Lord. The Lord, when he was insulted and mocked, never opened his mouth. And I thank the Lord for that, because that Sunday afternoon in tears and that I really wanted to say something, said to the Lord, please, Lord, show me what to do. And he said, don't do anything. Just don't do anything. Leave it with me. I found this little poem that day and now I've lost it. Just a minute. Where was it? Patience means enduring shame. Patience means restraining blame. Patience means in the fiercest flame, standing still and just trusting. Well, they had another promise from God too. Well, they came back from Egypt and everything was going fine. But then they had this other promise from God. He had promised them a special child. They were getting old. Abraham was nearing 100 and the child hadn't come. And once again, Sarah got impatient. And so she gave her Egyptian handmaid to Abraham. And she thought, they could have a baby. Good idea, surrogate mother. They think there's new things happening today, aren't they? These things happened long ago. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else takes concubines and, well, we can do that. And we'll have this baby that God promised us. But God promised them a baby through Sarah. And so once again they meddled and got in a muddle. And even to this day, the Arabs and the Jews are bitter enemies, aren't they? The two children, because later they did have their baby, Isaac, but Ishmael and Isaac, bitter enemies, and that goes on to today. Faith and patience go together. Faith is trusting, waiting, relying on God to work it all out. Trusting, knowing that His work is best, His way is best, His time is best, He knows best. Now we come to faith, waiting, patience. In verse 11, I got a shock. Because there we find that they were enabled to become parents because they considered God faithful, who had made the promise. They hadn't waited. They hadn't waited. They had meddled. But then the promise was renewed to them through some angels. One actually was the Lord. Renewed to them. And then they believed. So although they'd fallen flat on their face before, God applauds their faith in Hebrews chapter 11. All those people there, they all fell flat on their face. They all at times did not wait for God. Their faith wavered. Yet God in Hebrews chapter 11 applauds their faith. What a gracious, merciful God. And it's the same for us. There are times when we become impatient and our faith wavers. But God looks at the times when we hold on to Him and find Him holding on to us. And He is pleased. He applauds our faith. It delights His heart. Isn't that precious? Failure is not final. Never let the sense of failure defeat your next step. Satan's very clever. He's an accuser. And he'll say, ha, you didn't trust. You started to worry. And when you worry, you're not trusting. You're a failure. He says that to us, and it is not true. We are the Lord's. We took that first step of faith. We belong to Him. He forgives us. The moment we confess that we have made a mistake, He forgives us. We are clean. No one can ever take us out of His hand. We can journey on. We can have a new step, a fresh start. We can pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, and start all over again. Lord, I believe. Help me to believe more and walk on. Well, their son arrived. You know, the promise that God made anew to them was given, and they were told that in exactly a year from then, the son would arrive, and the baby came. So the conception and the reception of that baby was all in God's perfect timing. And what a miracle! The answer to prayer that they had, God's promise, was bigger than if it had happened when Sarah was 49 instead of 89. Boy, a baby at 89, I think that'd kill me, but anyhow, a baby, she must have been 89 or more, and Abraham 100, that is a miracle. You see, that waiting time means that when God's answer comes, you see something bigger than you would ever have seen before. We're waiting, and I'm sure you're waiting and praying for an answer in your life, in your family, in your situation. We're waiting. We've been waiting many years. so long now that I think I've stopped counting. Must be 17 years. But let's be like Abraham and Sarah. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That's what it says about Abraham and Sarah in Romans chapter 4. True faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's purposes in God's time. Commit your way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37 verse 5. We commit our plans and our problems to God, and they become his plans. And our will becomes his will in harmony. And then he is able to work it through and work us through too when we leave the outcome to him. Faith winning, the last bit. Max Lucado said this. He's a very good writer. And this is what he says. Faith is not believing that God will do what you want him to do, but believing that God will do what is right. That is faith. Real faith doesn't believe that God will do what you want him to do. Real faith believes that God will do what is right, even when it looks very wrong. And this is faith winning. This is confidence. This is confidence. Such complete trust in God that even if it means means losing what is dearest and nearest, real faith accepts that. Accepts God's will as best. It requires a complete denial of our own self-will. A complete denial of our own selfish desires. The most important thing in our life of journey, in our journey towards home, is that God's will be done. The Lord himself said that, remember, facing the cross, not my will, but your will be done. Such faith puts self aside, all our own self answers, all of the things that we've got that we think might work it out. I must tell you, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I have a son who I think has found the right person to get married, and that he hasn't told me about an engagement or a wedding or anything, but it's teaching me to wait anew, teaching me not to meddle and say a hint or ask any little questions or get any idea, just leave it. What a good practice it is to just trust and wait and just not have our own will or our own desires in mind, but only the Lord's will. God is too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, and too deep to explain himself. Job found that. God doesn't have to explain himself to us. He does what is right. Habakkuk was a great fellow. If you've got a chance, read the book of Habakkuk. And in chapter 3, he said, even though this happens and that happens and this happens and that happens, I will trust in the Lord, the God of my salvation. I guess you could think of a million ifs. It's like a domino effect. My mind goes mad. I don't know about yours. This could happen and then this could happen. And then that would happen and then this would happen. And your mind can just go right off in a tangent. But if this happened and if that happened, I will trust in the Lord. God tested Abraham's faith, remember? God asked him to sacrifice his precious son, the son that had been the answer to that prayer. And the Bible tells us that Abraham prepared to do that. He had such faith in God that he even believed that God could raise that son up from the dead. Whew, I wonder where Sarah was when all this was happening. I wonder if she helped collect the wood for the sacrifice. Faith winning. Oh, such complete trust in God that it could even accept the losing of the nearest and dearest. Well, God supplied a substitute sacrifice, and Isaac wasn't sacrificed at all, but Abraham's faith had been tested. Hebrews 12 tells us to look at these people in Hebrews 11 and follow their example. They are a terrific witness to us. They tell us to keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep looking forward to home. Keep journeying. Lassie, come home. It's a homecoming. Keep trusting. Keep waiting. Some of them suffered terrible tragedies. Some of them were delivered. Whoo! Just like that. Some of them prayed and they were delivered. Others prayed and they weren't delivered. They suffered terrible tragedy, but they all went home. God was just using their lives in a different way. The delivered ones and the undelivered ones, God was in control. And they believed him. They knew he would do what was right. And they went home believing, trusting in him. They were all living by faith when they died, verse 13 tells us, convinced that they were going home. You know what the Africans said of our daughter who died very young? They said she was homesick for God. I wonder if people look at us today and see us as a lassie going home. Or if they see us as a lassie so earthbound, so caught up with what's happening here and all that's here, that our eyes aren't on heaven. Or else, I wonder if they see us as a lassie whose eyes are on heaven, who's going home, who's homeward bound, not earthbound. Someone who's looking forward to that great welcome. What a magnificent welcome it is going to be when the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." What a homecoming. What a homecoming. Some of our friends and our family are already there. Let me ask you today, if you're a lassie going home, if you're going to heaven, that it's a journey of faith. Have you taken that first step of faith when you put your trust in the Lord? Are you walking today depending on the Lord, step by step, perhaps in a direction that you're not even sure of, depending on him? Is your faith wavering today? And perhaps you've taken things into your own hands a bit and you're finding it hard to wait. Tell him about it. Say, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me not to get impatient." Perhaps it's a time in your life where you're waiting, faith waiting, just trusting in the Lord, depending on him, waiting on him. His right time, he has a time limit and a load limit. Faith winning, that is wonderful. When we are willing to say, "Just always, not my will, but your will be done." And what a homecoming. And Sarah, who was really old, Karen, who was 8, some of us, we don't know when we're going to get there, but we're going there. What a homecoming it's going to be. Thank you.